What a God. Somebody said it. Man, what a God indeed. He's blessing in so many ways. So thankful to see people following him in baptism today. That's happening again out in the lake, not this Wednesday night, but the next Wednesday night. May you come and check that out, be a part of that. If you need to be baptized, reach out to me. Let me know. We'd love to have that conversation. God's blessing in so many ways. I've got 4 weddings to perform in 6 days. I ain't lying, man. It's crazy. 2 yesterday, 1 today, another one Thursday. Praise the Lord. That's great, though, right? Man, praise the Lord. Listen, when as a pastor, you're getting to perform more weddings than funerals, that's a blessing, right? That's a blessing. But those who are passing away know Jesus, that's a blessing, too. We also praise the Lord for that. And babies galore. There are newborn babies all over this place. It's just incredible, the baby boom that we're in right now. And God is so good. He's so faithful. So let's review, shall we, about what a God we have. You ready for this? You didn't study this week. I told you, you got to be studying. Here we go. What a God. He simply is. He is Yahweh. He cannot be divided. He is one. He needs nothing. He is self-sufficient. He has no beginning. He has no end. He is eternal. He stays the same. He is unchanging. He rules over all. He is sovereign. He is set apart. He is holy, holy, holy. He does all things right. He is righteous. What was next? Do you remember? Thank you. Yes, he's above all things. He is transcendent. He's nearer than breath. He is imminent. He makes all things right. He is just. He withholds from us what we deserve. He is mercy. He gives of himself freely. He is love. He gives undeserved favor. He is grace. He never lets go. He is faithful. He wants my heart. He is jealous. He is everywhere all the time. He is omnipresent. And he knows everything completely. He is, that's the one for today. He's omniscient. He knows everything completely. He is omniscient. Psalm 139 is where we're going to be today. If you have a Bible, I hope you do. Let's go to Psalm 139. It's been a long time ago now, but when I was a brand new pastor here, we were still called Loveless Park back in those days, and I got a call, probably on the landline. I did something crazy this week. I just took my landline out of my office. For 4 years, I've had that landline in there, and I don't think anybody's ever called me on it. So I was like, just taking up space. But somebody probably called me on my landline. This was a long time ago. And they said, hey, Pastor Joel, I have a friend in the hospital. Would you go see her? And I said, sure, right? Because I'm a new pastor, and I don't know a lot yet, but I know pastors should go see people in the hospital. So I go to the hospital. I don't know her. I don't know her family. I don't know what procedures she's having. I don't know anything about them at all, and I'm a rookie, right? And so I walk in the hospital. I go to the nurse's station. They tell me what room she's in. The nurse says she's just gotten back into her room from the surgery, so she's probably not going to be awake for a while yet. And I said, that's okay. So I walked down the hallway, and I got to the door, and I opened the door gently, quietly, and I stepped inside, and it was quiet in there. It was dark in there. No lights were on. The curtains were closed. Just a little bit of sunlight coming through the curtains. And she was just knocked out, right, as I expected. And all alone, I wasn't sure. I don't know her. I don't know anything about her. I don't know her family. I'm not even sure what they've done, right? I know she's out of surgery. She's asleep. And so I walk over to her bed, and I just stood there and began to silently pray for her. And then I heard a voice, not from heaven. I know you're like, this is going to be a great story. It wasn't from heaven. It was from behind me. I hear this voice, and I hear this voice say, how did she do? And I turn around. It's kind of dark, and I don't know any of these people anyway, and I see this man standing there. And I didn't really think about it. I just said, I'm not sure. And I saw this facial expression come over him. It changed, like panic. It looked like panic. And I didn't say anything else. I was kind of like, what, who, I don't know. And then he goes, what? How did she do? And I went, I don't know. And about the time that I realized homeboy's about to pass out, the thought occurred to me, he thinks I'm one of her doctors. And he basically just said, how did my wife do in surgery? And I'm kind of going, it could go either way. I don't know. Oh, my. I would like to tell you that I've gotten a whole lot better at all this over the last 22 years, but I would be lying, man. I still put myself in the most awkward of situations. And can anybody relate? I say dumb things, right? I get into these positions sometimes where I'm misunderstood or maybe I misunderstand what's going on, and you can probably relate to that because people often misunderstand each other. We misread the situations, don't we? We misinterpret people's intentions. We assume the wrong things. We hear the wrong things, or maybe we say the wrong things. One of the great frustrations of the human experience is misunderstandings. How many married people are in the room today? Come on, can I get a witness, married people, right? That is just one of the great frustrations of the human experience. You stood up and raised your hand, Roy. June, what is going on? Oh, you were already standing. I thought you were emphatic about that. It truly is one of the great frustrations of the human experience is misunderstanding each other. Husbands will sometimes say, that's not what I said. Wives will sometimes say, you're not listening to me. Teenagers will often say, nobody understands me. Human beings constantly misread each other because we only have fragments of the whole story, right? It's like watching a parade. Y'all know where I'm from. I'm from the great metropolis of WWESTBOLOCTON, West Blockton. I'm from West Blockton. Hey, 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 right? Now, if you've ever watched a parade in West Blockton, you know this to be true. You can only see one McKinney wrecker at a time. There's going to be about 50 of them. God bless the McKinney family, great people, but you're going to see one wrecker at a time. You can only, as you watch a parade, you can only see what's in front of you at one time. That's how we live life. We can only see what's in front of us right now. But God, what a God. Psalm 139 today introduces us to a God who can see the entire parade all at one time. Psalm 139 introduces us to a God who never misunderstands anything. God alone knows the whole story, and that includes your story. He knows the whole story. There's never a moment that God says, I did not know that. Never a moment that God is surprised. Never a moment that God says, you know, something just occurred to me. Never a moment that he is confused or forgetful. God knows everything completely. He is omniscient. Lock that in your vault. We'll review it all again next week. Let's look at Psalm 139. Note takers, you can write this down. Four things, and we're going to make this real personal today. Four things that God knows about me. And not just me, but you. You're talking about, you know, you refer to you as me, not me as you. Four things God knows about me. Number one, God knows my life. God knows my life. David opens up by saying, oh, Yahweh, you have searched me. You have searched me and you've known me. And when David says there, you've searched me, he doesn't mean like you have analyzed me because you're trying to figure me out. Listen, the omniscience of God, the all-knowing God means he doesn't have to analyze anything or figure anything out. That's not what David means here. He means that nothing is hidden from God. Nothing's hidden. David knows that God sees him through and through. A few years ago, things changed at the airports. We used to just walk through the metal detectors. And now, if you've been to the airport in the last several years, you know it's different. You walk into what looks like a time capsule. It's got the footprints on the floor. You stand there, and then you hold your hands up, and this thing goes, right? And you feel like this thing is like seeing what I had for breakfast. It's seeing everything about me. And those scanners are designed to see beneath the surface. And David says here, you have searched me. In other words, God, I know you see me beneath the surface. I know you see everything. He sees straight through us. Now listen, I know that at first that makes some of us a little nervous. At first that makes some of us get a little squirmy. That somebody sees and knows everything about us. Because the truth is, most of us spend a fair amount of time trying to make sure people don't know everything about us. We curate our social media. We curate our reputation, our image, and we're concerned about what people might think about us, what they might know about us. And unfortunately, for those of us who are followers of Jesus and who go to church on the regular, unfortunately, we've kind of learned to do this with our spiritual lives too. We've learned how to speak a church language. We've learned how to have church behavior and church appearances. We've learned how to look strong on the outside while meanwhile our souls are struggling. We've learned how to smile even when our hearts are breaking. We give this, what I call this garbage greeting at church. How you doing? I'm good. I'm good. How are you? I'm fine. You almost killed children on the way to church in your car, right? All kinds of stuff happened this week in your lives, stuff that we wouldn't laugh about here today, and yet we exchange garbage greetings with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're never going to fool God. I can fool each other, but not Him. Now, to some of you, that might sound terrifying, but for others, I hope that you find the truth that God knows everything. I hope that you find that very comforting, because some of you today, you're carrying burdens around right now that you cannot fully explain, even you yourself. You're carrying around some things in your life, you're silently fighting discouragement and despair, silently fighting depression, and you yourself can't even exactly pinpoint, why is all this stirred up in me, and why do I feel this, and why is this my experience? You can't even yourself begin to explain the brokenness that you feel inside. And maybe I'm describing you right now. Maybe you don't even know what is happening within your own self. But I want you to know this morning, God does. God does. And He sees you and He understands you perfectly and completely. There's been plenty of moments that my wife has looked at me and said, I do not understand you. Plenty. But I promise you, there's nobody in this room that God has ever looked at your life and said, I don't understand you. I don't get you. God has never said that. And He never will say that. He knows. He knows. He knows the unknown fear. The fear in you that nobody else knows about. He knows the unknown fear behind all that anger inside of you. He knows the unknown exhaustion that nobody else may know, but He knows it. He knows the unknown exhaustion behind your irritability. He knows. He knows the unknown loneliness that nobody else may know in your life. He knows the unknown loneliness that's producing this silence in your life. He knows the unknown wounds that nobody else may know, but He knows the unknown wounds that have been buried beneath years of you pretending that everything's okay. God knows it. The omniscience of God does not just mean that God can pick you out of a lineup, right? Your pastor's trying to do that with you. I'm trying just to pick you out of a lineup, if I'm honest with you. I just want to put a name with a face. That's every day in my life. I'm just trying to put a name with a face. And I'm telling you this morning, what a God. He's not just trying to put a name with a face. He knows you. Does more than just picking you out of a lineup. He understands you completely, thoroughly, perfectly. David said this. He said, you have searched me and known me. Known me. And then David says, this is cool. Verse 2. He says, you know when I sit down. And when I rise up, there's nothing more boring about your life than when you sit down and when you get up, unless you're Roy and the pastor draws you out in front of everybody. David says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up, you understand my thought from afar, you scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. I like this because when David begins to talk about what it is that God knows, he doesn't talk about the massive stuff. He doesn't talk about the big stuff that God knows. He doesn't mention standing before kings. That's a big moment, and David's had that moment. He doesn't mention that. He doesn't mention fighting giants, and David has fought giants, but he doesn't mention that massive moment. He doesn't mention military victories, and David's had massive military victories, but he doesn't mention that. Political power, David's got it. He doesn't mention that. He doesn't even mention the massive and epic failures that he's had in his life. David's go-to, when he begins to think about and talk about what God knows about him, he goes to not the massive things, but the mundane things. He bypasses the big stuff, and instead he's struck by the fact that God knows the ordinary stuff about me. He knows the everyday stuff about me. He knows the boring stuff about me. He knows when I sit down and when I stand up and when I go to bed. See, what a God. He's not a God that's just like, hey, I ain't got time for all that. I just got to know the massive stuff, the important stuff, the cosmic stuff. And David says, no, he knows all of this stuff, all the minute details of your everyday life. He knows your routine or lack thereof, depending on who you are. He knows your habits. He knows your schedule. He knows your responsibilities. He knows it all. You guys... Well, ladies and gentlemen who work these rotating shifts, I don't know how you do it. I could never do it. But God knows every time you get up and you go work that shift. These moms spend every day, all day long with their children. And you're wondering, does anybody know what it's like to be here all day, all night with these little children? Does anybody know what that's like? And God knows. He knows what that's like. He knows what it's like to walk the hallway at your school and wonders, where do I fit? Where do I belong? God knows that. He knows that. He knows the single mom that carries that weight by herself of being mom and dad to these precious little ones that God has given her. And she wonders, does anybody know the weight that I'm carrying around? And I'm telling you this morning, yes, God knows. He knows. We're talking about the people who are in retirement, who are beginning to wonder, are my most important and my most impactful days, are those days behind me now? Does anybody know how that feels to be walking into this season of my life when things are changing so much? And I'm telling you this morning, according to the perfect, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, our God knows. David says that God is intimately acquainted with all your ways, not some of them, but all your ways. We're talking about four things this morning God knows about me. Number one, God knows my life. Number two, God knows my mind. He knows my mind. I want to back up to the end of verse 2. David says, you understand my thought from afar. You understand my thought, just one single thought. Not thought patterns. I mean, we can kind of figure out some thought patterns, but David just says, one thought. You understand it from afar. David is moving now from the visible part of life. Sit down, stand up, go to bed, wake up. He's moving from the visible part of life to the invisible part of life, to what's happening in our minds. Listen, if you could walk every step with me this week, you would learn my habits. You would learn my routine. You would learn the things that I do, what that's light, but I'm telling you, God's knowledge about me and God's knowledge about you goes far deeper than that. So David goes on to our thoughts and to our motives and to our desires, that hidden stuff that nobody else knows, but God knows. Here's the thing about God. God doesn't just know what you do. He knows why you do it. You might not even know why you do it. God knows not just what you do, he knows why you do it. He knows all your thoughts, the conscious thought that you're having right now, even the unconscious thoughts. God knows them all. He knows the fear underneath that anger. He knows the insecurity underneath all that boasting. He knows the hurt beneath all that withdrawal. He knows all that pride underneath that performance. He knows all that anxiety that's underneath all that achieving. He knows that craving that's underneath that desire to control in your life. He knows all of that. He knows what we truly trust. He knows what we truly live for. He knows what we truly value. He knows what we truly worship. Several weeks ago, we talked about the jealousy of God. You remember that? God wants my heart, the jealousy of God. And we identified the four idols that mankind tends to struggle with, right? And how many of you remember that? How many of you identified your idol that day, the sin that's so easily entangled? Anybody remember that? Anybody? Okay, all right, cool. How many of you had more than one, by the way? Because I talked to a lot of people like, Pastor Joel, I think I'm really jacked up. I've got more than one. I was like, no, you're just kind of mainstream sinner with the rest of us. The four idols that tend to dominate our hearts, they were money or security, power, pleasure, and admiration. And you know what's frightening about these idols? Oftentimes, these idols are hidden beneath respectable behavior. They're hidden beneath respectable behavior. That's why some of us are pretty far up in life. And it was just a couple weeks ago that went, oh my goodness, I just identified idol in my life, because we've had it covered and camouflaged most of our lives with respectable behavior. A person can look successful on the outside, meanwhile they're enslaved by admiration. A person can look responsible on the outside, meanwhile they're enslaved by money and security. A person can look happy on the outside, meanwhile they're enslaved to pleasure. A person can look strong on the outside, meanwhile they're enslaved to power and to control. See, other people can see the outside, but the Bible says God sees our mind, He sees our heart. He knows what truly drives us. He knew, by the way, some of us just discovered what our idol that entangles us is a couple of weeks ago. God knew what idol you would struggle with before you were born. He already knew it. Before He even spoke all of this world into creation, He already knew that. You know what? That's both humbling and hopeful. It's humbling, obviously, because I'm thinking, my gracious, He knows everything. And that's humbling. But it's also hopeful. It's hopeful because I know, according to the Scriptures, Jesus came to set the enslaved free. Jesus came through His life and death and burial and resurrection to set us free from the slavery of sin and self and idolatry, and to set us free to live in His glorious light. And Jesus said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So we're talking about four things that God knows about me today. Number one, God knows my life. Number two, God knows my mind. And number three, God knows my words. God knows my words. David goes on to say in verse 4, even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Yahweh, You know it all. Before the word is even formed in our mouths, God already knows it. He knows the words that we're silently rehearsing. He knows the bitterness, the anger that we're always thinking about. He knows the fears that we never say out loud. He knows every unspoken word. And then, this is the one we try not to think about a whole lot, He also knows every word we do speak. And Lord of mercy, we speak a bunch of those, don't we? There's never been a generation in the history of mankind that has had so many means by which to verbally vomit over everybody around them. It's really kind of insane if you start to think about it. And believers in Jesus, we're not immune to that madness either. One of my favorite verses is in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Here's the life verse for all of us today. And I'm putting up the New Living Translation on this. Proverbs 10, 19, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. I'm seeing the next Grace Life t-shirt right there. Just big letters on the back. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. The Bible repeatedly warns us, doesn't it, about things like gossip and slander and unwholesome communication. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. He says, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Like toothpaste coming out of a tube, We all are guilty of having said things that we just can't pull them back in. They're just there. There's nothing that we can do to change that. And David just said, God heard every one of those before you got them out of your mouths. Once again, this fact that God knows our words, it cuts two ways, right? Because it is convicting. Because God knows I have just put the toothpaste on the floor so many times and went, bah! Right? So we all got some conviction today because, oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Remember that? For the Father up above, he is looking down in love, so be careful, little tongue, what you say. Right? So we got that. We understand it's convicting to know that God knows our words. But I want you to know this morning, I think the older I get, the more I find that to be comforting. Because if God knows the words that I say before I say them, that means he knows the prayers that I can't even put words to. Have you ever been there? He knows the silent prayers that you pray when you're driving down the road just trying to keep it between the ditches. He knows the words to your prayers that you're not even saying out loud when you're laying in your bed at night, your head's on your pillow, and the tears are just streaming down the corners of your eyes. He knows those words as well. He hears the prayers that you cannot articulate. Others might hear those words, but misunderstand them. But God never misunderstands what you say because he already knows it before you say it. He can never misunderstand what you say. So this morning, four things God knows about me. He knows my life. He knows my mind. He knows my words. And number four, he knows my future. He knows my future. Verse 5, David says to God, you have enclosed me behind and before. In other words, David pictures God having completely surrounded him. He says, you have enclosed me, you have surrounded me, you have encircled me behind and before. In other words, every which way David turns, God has enclosed him with the kindness and with the knowledge of God. Completely enclosed by his knowledge. Don't miss this. Here's what David's doing here, by the way. He's offering words of certainty to uncertain people. These are words of certainty to uncertain people. Because the reality is, most of what afflicts most of us is uncertainty. It affects us in so many ways. If we just knew, we don't. I mean, there are multiple multi-billion dollar industries that are built on the uncertainties of people. We try to control the future because we can't see it. We have anxiety because we can't see what's ahead. And I know even this morning there's a lot of that in the room. It's just the nature of our broken condition on this planet. And I know this morning there's people in this room today who are wondering what you're going to find out from the doctor this week. There's people in the room today who are wondering and afraid, concerned, are my children going to be okay? There's people in this room who have uncertainty this morning about the future of your marriage. Is it going to make it? There's people in the room today that are filled with uncertainty about your finances. Are we going to survive this? Are we going to be able to handle this that's happened? There's people in this room, mostly sitting up close today, who have uncertainty about their future because you're wondering, okay, what do I do now? I graduated high school. I went to college. I found my job, but I don't know where I'm going now. I don't know what's next. And Psalm 139 reminds us that there has never been a single moment that God has wondered what's going to happen next. Not one. God has never faced any uncertainty. He's never known panic. He's never known surprise. I mean, try throwing him a surprise party. He always knows. He's never known confusion. Listen, tomorrow may be unknown to you. It is not unknown to God. It is not unknown to God. And he has enclosed you with his omniscience. Listen, if you're in Christ today, be encouraged. You are not stumbling into the future. You are not dependent upon some cold hand of fate. You are being sovereignly guided into your future by the tender, gentle, kind hand of a heavenly Father. Forget this hand of fate baloney. We have the hand of a heavenly Father that is on us. That's what David says. Look at the next part of verse 5. He says, you've put your hand on me. Think about that. David said, you have enclosed me with your knowledge, but then he takes it a step further. It's not like, you know, there's this electric fence around your life just to keep you from really going off the rails. That's not how God has enclosed us. He said, God has enclosed you with his knowledge, and then he's put his hand on you. He's put his hand on you. Not the hand of fate, but the hand of your Father. The same God who knows tomorrow is the same God whose hand is on his people today. By the way, this stops the great poet and songwriter and psalmist David stone cold in his tracks. I mean, the Holy Spirit has got it flowing with David, and he's like, what a God, what a God. And then David just like drops the pen and goes, I can't take anymore. Look at what he says. Verse 6, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. It's too much. I cannot attain it. David is standing there slack-jawed right now because he's come to understand, help me out, that the God who is, he is Yahweh. The God who cannot be divided, he is one. The God who needs nothing, he is self-sufficient. The God who has no beginning or no end, he is eternal. The God who stays the same, he is unchanging. The God who rules over all things, he is sovereign. The God who is set apart, he is holy, holy, holy. The God who always does what is right, he is righteous. The God who is over all things, he is transcendent. The God who is nearer than breath, he is imminent. The God who makes all things right, he is just. The God who withholds from us what we deserve, he is mercy. The God who gives of himself freely, he is love. The God who gives undeserved favor, he is grace. The God who never lets go, he is faithful. The God who wants my heart, he is jealous. The God who is everywhere all the time, he is omnipresent. And the God who knows everything about me, he is omniscient. And David says, I can't take it anymore. This is too good. That the God who knows every detail about my life, the God who knows every thought I've ever had, the God who knows every word before it's spoken, the God who stands already in every tomorrow, is the same God who has enclosed me with himself and put his hand on my life. David says, this is too wonderful for me. I can't comprehend a God like this. Think about this. David is saying, the God who is like this is the God who knows you, and he's not leaving. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not abandon you. He is not running away from you. He says his hand is on you. The God who knows your every failure. The God who knows every secret thought. The God who knows every anxious moment, every idol or idols. The God who knows every anxious moment, every secret wound, is the same God who's moving to you, not from you. You need proof? You need proof of that today? Let me give you some. Then look into the cross. Look at what Jesus did. He knew every sin. He knew every failure. He knew every secret thought. And he went to the cross and laid down his life for you and for me anyway. Suffered and died in our place anyway. Was abused and scoffed at and nailed on a cross anyway. He opened his arms to sinners anyway. Listen, the omniscience of God is not just some doctrine that we sit down and study. The omniscience of God is revealed in God's word to God's people to give us clarity and to give us comfort. And I think more than anything, to lead us to a place of worship where we, like David, stand slack-jawed because we've come to realize that the God who knows the most about me loves me more than anybody else. If you knew me like he knows me, you wouldn't love me. Some of you are thinking, I don't know what he knows about you, and I already don't love him. But I know nobody would love me in this room if you knew me like God knows me. And don't get all high and mighty, I wouldn't love you either. If what God knows about me got put on these screens up here today, you would all get out of here quick and in a hurry. You'd never come back. And if what he knows about you went on these screens today, we'd never see your face again. This is what David is coming to terms with. This God who knows me the most loves me the best. What a God. What a God. God, we bow our hearts before you in awe of who you are. There is none like you. None. You're the God of our past. You're the God right here, right now, in the present. You're the God who already stands in our future. And so, God, I pray this morning for those in the room who walked in today with a heaviness in their heart. Maybe that they can put words to, maybe that they can't. Feeling isolated and alone, unseen and misunderstood, maybe. But God, today you've made it abundantly clear. There's nobody here that you don't understand. Nobody here that you don't know. Nobody here that you don't love. So God, I pray the next few moments would be moments where your Holy Spirit provides transformation in our hearts and souls that we can't provide for ourselves and none others can provide for us. Thank you that you're running to us, not from us. Oh, what kind of love is this that the Father has lavished on us that we might be called the sons and the daughters of God? I'm telling you this morning, he knows you. And he can do far more than just pick you out of a lineup. And he's already standing in the next second of your life, the next day of your life, the next season of your life. Let's relax. Let's breathe. And let's rejoice. Because he's got this. He's got this. Let's stand. And let's worship the Lord.